Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Moseki, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well, my brother. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope that your day has been fine so far.
Yeah, it's been a quiet day for me, so
oh, lovely.
It's really great.
Ah, great stuff. And so you're going to be getting into the Sabbath really nice and rested, eh?
Yeah. Can't wait. You know, the Sabbath is just a blessing, man. Tired this whole week.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad to hear that indeed Sabbath is a blessing, definitely by that. Now, you know, it's been an interesting week full of interesting insights and conversations around social, civic, spiritual responsibility as a Seventh-day Adventist Christians. But looking into how we should respond to injustice and inequality within and, of course, without, you know, our church. Now, let's share and discuss some final points with the pastor as we are concluding today. Now, Pastor, if you had to summarize our conversations from Monday when we started, how should Christians, respond to injustice when we see it happening in and out of our church?
These are basically the key points that I can summarize that question with, or this discussion with, that as Christians, we should advocate for justice. That's one key principle among other principles. You know, the Bible constantly calls us to stand for justice, especially for the marginalized and the oppressed. And number two, we should love our neighbor. You know, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So what we wish other people do for us, we should do for them and do to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that is another way of making sure that we ourselves, besides just speaking against injustices, we are actually practicing justice. And then speaking the truth in love, the way we engage in conversation with those who may be holding different ideas and different beliefs about what is just and what is not just,
mm-hmm.
and those who are perpetuating injustice, we should have respect in how we address them, and respect in the sense of they are human beings, they are created in the image of God, and our purpose is for them to actually see things the way God wants them to see them. And then now there is, of course, without saying prayer and reliance on God when you do all these things, because without God, to just be in vain, you know, will be more like sounding empty symbols, if you may put it that way. And then there is the aspect of peaceful resistance. There is a way of actually protesting that the Bible gives us principles of. And then we know ultimately that we cannot solve all the injustices of the world. So we have to trust in God's ultimate justice. You know, for God says that vengeance is mine, I will repay. At the end of the day, when we have done all that we can as Christians to bring solutions to the injustices that are in the world, and those who are at the helm of the power do not do that, we know that God ultimately will sort everything out at his own time, in his own way.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, I do know that Christ was one of those figures back in his time who stood for injustice. Do we have examples, perhaps? Because we normally say that no, Jesus stood for injustice, and many people get surprised. They say, "Oh wow, didn't he just preach about heaven? When did he stand for injustice?"
We can see a couple of examples. There are two incidents in the ministry of Christ. When he was actually driving out people who were using the temple for own purposes, the cleaning of the temple, clean up of the temple. When he began his ministry, the people were trading the temple, which was actually not permitted by scripture or by the principles of God. So he drove them out. That is, and when you read the background, is they would actually cheat people with those exchanges that they were doing in the temple court. You know, they would overprice the exchange rate and all that, and Christ drove them out. So that is how he responded to injustice. And then you also have the issue of Christ dealing with the woman who was caught in adultery, you can see how he dealt with her, which was different from how those who accused her wanted to solve the whole issue. You can see that this is a woman who's vulnerable, this is a person who's vulnerable, that is advantaged, and more like what we have today, you know, whereby those who are in power is like when they're doing some kind of, you know, illegal activity, they are free from the law, and those who are not in power. So Christ there was advocating for justice and showing that aspect. And you can also see how he hung out with the marginalized in society, you know, the tax collectors, the sinners. That in and of itself is Christ protesting against injustice, because injustice says, look, you know what, I'm going to count you out and I'm not going to include you because I don't like you, because of one reason or another, not because someone is actually following the principles of what constitutes justice.
Now, some have said, but you see, the system of the day was quite unfair, but generally to the rules. For instance, people are talking about tax and how unfair and very harsh, you know, it was to people. And yet he was quiet. In fact, he simply encouraged the people to subdue themselves to this ill treatment and very harsh treatment. Didn't stand for injustice. What do we say then to that?
On the issue of tax, when you look at Romans 13, this is the word of God. It talks about customs, it talks about taxes, that these are supposed to be paid. And when you look at the purpose of tax, I'm not saying that all tax laws are just. There is a point whereby, you know, the citizens are being overtaxed and we have to speak against that. But to say that we eradicate tax altogether, tax is used to develop the state. The national roads and all these infrastructures, the government uses that, or is supposed to use that, to maintain, to build and maintain those things so that the citizens at large can benefit. So to say that we are scraping tax altogether, we want to live in a very natural state, as it were, as the legal terms goes, then it means that we would not have, we should not use the things that are built by the state, you know, we shouldn't be using, be connected to the power grid, for example, or using, you know, Wi-Fi, because they are Wi-Fi, the internet providers. I just lost my train of thought there. So those are the elements, but we can speak against being overtaxed, not against tax, because tax serves a purpose, and the Bible acknowledges that.
And the people then felt that they were overtaxed by the Roman Empire. Do you share that sentiment?
Yeah, well, they felt that they were taxed by the Roman Empire. But when you look at the Jewish nation during that time, they actually, I would say that they put themselves in that kind of situation. I mean, going back into the history of it and what happened, and God allowing them to undergo through to undergo that, it is because of what they had done. Now, Christ did speak against injustices, and the way he spoke about injustice, or the way he actually promoted the protest, it's a very interesting one. In Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, I'll just pick one or two. The first one that I want to pick is, when someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. And now, the only way that one can slap another person on the left cheek is with a backhand. And Christ is, when you turn the other cheek, you're giving them a chance to slap you with properly, with a palm, with an open palm, so that, you know, it's like we are in the same level, because when someone slaps another with a backhand, it's a form of disrespect, that you are less than me. So you are giving them a chance to say, look, you know what, we are equal. And that is a very interesting kind of protest. I mean, why subject yourself to pain, to being pained, when you know, you can fight back? But that is just the method of Christ, you know, the method of humility, and trying to win the other person into seeing themselves as your equal. But, you know, Christ came to serve a purpose that is very special, in the sense of he came to show people how to live according to the principles of God's kingdom are in the midst of this unjust and evil world. Why? Because already Christ, I mean, had given a prophecy in the book of Daniel. He repeated over and over again, chapter 2, 7, 8, and going all the way to chapter 12, that the kingdoms of this world will fail you. They don't have to, but they will fail you. But there will be a kingdom of God which cannot fail you. So what is a priority now is to have a character that will usher us into a just kingdom, a kingdom where there is no injustice or inequality throughout eternity.
Yeah. And, you know, some claim that, well, he was a radical, yet in fact, they say he was a radical. That's why he ended up in trouble with, you know, the authorities back then. So was he a radical or was it just standing up for justice?
When you look at how Christ ended up in the situation that he ended up in, it was not even a political issue. This was purely a religious issue. He came to the Jewish nation, the nation that supposedly had the oracles of God, and they should have figured out and understood what his mission was. But because of jealousy, they put him in that. And you can even see from the conversation, you know, Pilate said, look, there's nothing wrong with this man. I don't see any wrong that he has done. This is a Roman representative. He says, look, I look at this man, I've examined him, and I can tell you without a doubt that this man is innocent. So we see here that the persecutors of Christ were not necessarily the Romans, was not necessarily the government of the day, but it was the church of the day. So he was radical in the sense of in a religious way. He was a religious radical. Radicalist, if we put it that way. Because he was saying, look, you guys, you are misinterpreting scripture. You guys are not reading scripture, all right? And I came here to show you how things are to be interpreted. And because of that, they didn't like him and they wanted to do away with him. And they had to involve the state somehow to get an approval to do that or to facilitate that to happen.
Beautiful. Now, you know, yesterday, you know, as I was looking at the traffic, there was a protest, you know, causing all sorts of traffic. And the question comes out, is protesting against injustice an unbiblical or sinful in any way? Or should we just stay away from protests or we do find examples of that in the Bible?
Protesting against injustice is not inherently unbiblical or sinful. In fact, there are several biblical principles that support the idea of standing up against justice or protesting, even if it involves, you know, a public protest or other forms of peaceful resistance. Now, I'm emphasizing that peaceful resistance because we have to be responsible citizens who do not vandalize state resources and everyone else's property. We have to respect that. So the biblical examples of protest are, you know, guys like Isaiah and Amos, the Old Testament prophets that often spoke out against injustices of their time, you know, calling out kings and leaders for their exploitation of the masses, of the poor and the marginalized, for example. And you have this, they publicly denounce such. So this was a form of protest against the societal wrongs. They make public declarations that this is what is going on and it is wrong. You also see Jesus in the temple. I mentioned this earlier on. Him cleansing the temple in Matthew chapter 21 can be seen as a form of protest against the corruption and exploitation that was taking place there. So his actions were bold and confrontational and aimed at restoring justice and righteousness. And also look at the early church. The early church, with the apostles who often found themselves in conflict with authorities. For example, in Acts chapter 4, you have Peter and John, how they continue to preach the gospel despite being ordered not to do that. They demonstrated a commitment to a higher principle over human laws. So we see that there is that example and that principles of, you know, nonviolent resistance in the Bible. And Christ followed that, Paul emphasized that. And the role of the church in society today is that we have a prophetic role in society as a church to speak out against evil and to advocate for justice. And when we remain silent in the face of injustice, it can be seen as complicity. You know, we are not doing our part. We are supposed to be the salt and the light of the world. So if we are not acting our part to brighten the corner where we are, to enlighten people of what is justice and what is not, and what is not, or what constitutes justice and what doesn't, and to preserve the principles of justice that will keep the society intact, then we are not doing our work. We are not living up to our calling. So as Christians, we cannot just sit and say we are not doing anything about it. But we have to find a way of how can we protest and still maintain Christian virtues and Christian principles.
Yeah, and still, I think that's that last sentence, and still maintain Christian values and principles. Thank you so much for emphasizing that. Now, what would be your conclusion to today, to this week's discussions, and what is it that you would like to impress upon the listeners? After all is said and done, this is a mufaho that we can actually take with as we walk in this life.
That's what I would say, especially looking at the big theme of the week, that how as Christians we are to relate to injustice or confront injustice and inequality. We as Christians, we have a responsibility. It is not something that we can decide that this is optional. It's an imperative. It's an essential. It's not an unessential. It is an essential part of the gospel, that as we preach the gospel, we also have to make sure that we have a social responsibility, which is to call out injustices and inequality. And that has to be informed by a biblical worldview. We shouldn't borrow the ideas from some other movement or from some other worldview. No, it should be informed by the Bible. And we are encouraged to engage with issues of injustice, but always in a manner that honors God and reflects the character of Christ. And Ellen White says that we have to protest by voice and by pen. These are very important. Speaking out, writing articles, being part of think tanks in society, being part of non-profit organizations or non-government organizations that advocate for justice and that call out inequality, that our input is needed there as Christians. We may not necessarily need to be politicians, to be voted into office in order for us to speak against these things. But the safest place for us to do that is outside of those, because then you know that you are not really trying to be loyal to any political philosophy, but you are doing your job, your responsibility, without any strings attached, simply because you are a Christian and you know that you have to advocate for justice and call out inequality.
Ah, beautiful man, Pastor. It has been a fantastic week having you on board, and really, clarifying and giving us some food for thought and things that we really, should be chewing on as we, go with this life. Thank you so, so much, Pastor. Blessings to you.
Thank you so much. May God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.